All right. Good morning, guys. It's good to see you today. Thank you for joining us for worship. My name is Jason. If we haven't met, I have the privilege here of serving as one of our pastors and elders, and it's really good to see you all. What a great morning. If you're just joining us today, maybe you're fairly new here. Thank you for coming. We have a very special morning in store. And so here's what we do at the Grove during the summer months. We have a sermon series that we call Summer Psalms, and we do this every year, and we preach through various psalms in the Old Testament, and we've been doing this since the summer of 2017, and so we've been doing this quite a while. We take a different psalm each week, and today we continue. And so if you have a Bible, why don't you go ahead and turn with me to Psalm chapter 33, Psalm 33. Starting in verse 1, while you're turning there, I've been reading this psalm many, many times this week, and it just hit me once again how accurate the portrayal of this psalm is to the life of normal believers. And I love that about psalms, and whenever you read them, you can easily picture yourself in the pages, in the verses. It's like we're there, and In the Psalms, we see our struggles. In the Psalms, we are confronted. In the Psalms, we find where hope is found. And I say that just to remind us that whatever you're going through this morning, God's Word can speak to your situation. Whatever decisions you need to make, whatever challenges you are facing, God's Word is ready to speak to you. And the question for us this morning is, are you ready to listen? And so I'm going to be starting here in verse 1. By the way, if you do need a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand. We'd love for you to follow along. We have ushers walking around the worship center now. If you came without a Bible, we'd love to get you one so that you can follow along. Go ahead and get those hands up. So far this summer, we've covered Psalm 146. Randy, one of our elders, shared that with us, and last Sunday, Pastor Scott preached out of Psalm 92. Great psalms, great messages. Psalm 33. This one's one of my favorites. Not sure if you're familiar with it or not, but it's a great psalm. It's a hymn of praise to God. You're going to love it. It's like the perfect summer psalm. And as we walk through it, you will notice that it begins with an offering and really an invitation to worship. And then it'll continue by offering several characteristics and attributes of God. And then it ends with resolve, like a determination to trust in God and to worship Him. And I love the theology of this psalm. I think you guys will too. We see that Yahweh is the creator. We see that Yahweh is the sovereign Lord over all things. We see that Yahweh, He is the judge, and He's also Savior. It's a very robust psalm, and maybe that's what you need to hear this morning. Maybe for you it'll be a simple reminder, July 21st, 2024, today we'll be challenged to put our hope not in our strength, but to place our hope, our faith, our trust in the Lord. And so if you're ready to get started, why don't you look with me there to verse 1. The first three verses here this morning really serve as an introduction for us, and so why don't I just get started here. The psalmist begins with an invitation to offer Yahweh our worship. And really this is an invitation to every single one of us here this morning. Sing for joy. You guys see it? Sing for joy in Yahweh, O righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. All right, let's pause there. What a great start. This is an invitation to offer Yahweh worship. Verse 1, the saints of God, the righteous ones, are commanded to sing, to praise. In other words, rejoice. It's an invitation. Will you respond to it this morning? It says, sing for joy in Yahweh, O righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. And I love the command. It's really an exhortation. It's a command to be loud, vocal in praise. Lift up the name of the Lord. It's a decree. It's a declaration. It's an invitation. That's what it is, to worship. And I think it's interesting, if you were to look just one verse back in Psalm 32, verse 11. Do you guys see that? Notice how the previous psalm ends. Look there, verse 11. Be glad, it says, in Yahweh, and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. That's how the previous psalm ends. Be glad. Rejoice. Shout for joy. And then in Psalm 33, the opening words are, sing for joy. Praise. I love that. Especially the second part of verse 1 where it says, praise is becoming. It's becoming to the upright. It's beautiful. It's lovely. Do you guys see that? You know, many emotions can grip our hearts. You guys know this. Emotions, they can grip our hearts. I mean, think about it on any given week, on any given day. Imagine the emotions that we experience. We can be overcome with joy, happiness, sadness, despair, humility, pride, anger, envy, unforgiveness, hate, all of it. Sometimes within minutes, sometimes within hours, and a host of other emotions. No emotion is as beneficial or is as beautiful to the heart that is filled with praise for Yahweh. And so as we talk about the invitation to worship in verse 1, we're encouraged to sing and to praise. And I think it's very, very, very basic. But I think we sometimes read the Psalms and we just kind of like don't apply it. The Psalms are meant to be sung, not just read. And so many of us have the discipline to read our Bibles. Fantastic. We love reading the Psalms, don't we? But do we sing the Psalms? Remember, the invitation is to sing and to praise. And when we do sing, listen, worship has the power to calm the heart. Worship has the power to bring added peace and healing in ways that mere words do not. And so listen up, Christian, if you're anxious this morning, and I know some of you are, if you are troubled this morning, and I know some of you are, if you're heavy-hearted, burdened, could it be? Could it be that the best medicine for your soul today is to get alone with the Lord and worship Him? You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote something to the church in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 3, a great, 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 great passage, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Check this out. It says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Oh, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Many of us are lacking peace this morning. The Apostle Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. What does this show us? It shows us if you want peace, if you're looking for freedom from anxiousness, listen to the psalmist today. Listen to him. He is teaching us that worship has the power to calm the heart and bring added peace and healing in ways that mere words do not. And so the question here today is, will you worship? Will you respond to the invitation to worship Yahweh once again? And remember, it's not just reading the Psalms, but it's also letting the psalmist's words soothe our hearts and our souls. And we don't just stop there. We seek to apply them as well. Amen? Like, it's nice to read it, but shouldn't we also apply it? Yeah, I think so. And so our aim should be not just to read the Psalms, but to be doers of the Psalms. Are you a doer of the Psalms this morning? James chapter 1, verse 22 talks about this, doesn't he? Help us, Lord, to be doers of the words. Amen? Reading God's word? Great. You know what's better than just reading God's word? Applying it. Even better. Moving on, notice here verse 2. Here we go. Give thanks to Yahweh. Okay. This is going to unsettle some of us just a tad. All right? Notice here verse 2. Give thanks to Yahweh with the lyre. Sing praises to him with the harp of 10 strings. Jason, what is going on here? You know, the stringed instruments named here accompany this exuberant song of praise. And I want us to think about this a minute. The instruments here accompany this song of praise. Yeah, that's kind of what I got out of it too. And I think the invitation, I think the call is to use musical instruments, to use our skills playing instruments to praise him. And when instruments are played for his glory, it honors Yahweh. Wow. Because music is another form to praise God. Now, here's what happens. Many of us read that and we're like, all right, next. What's the next verse say? We kind of just dismiss it. I mean, instruments and worship, that ain't talking to me. I think it's talking to the half a dozen people up here, but I don't think it's talking to me. And so let's move on. That's what we think. We think, well, I'm not too musical. You know, I'm not an artist at all. I'm not the creative type. I mean, the time to learn an instrument, I guess, is probably when you're young, and I'm not so young anymore, and I guess it's too late for me. But if I'm reading verse 2 correctly, what does it say? What does it say? Give thanks to Yahweh with the lyre. Sing praises to him with harps of 10 strings. And so in addition to be glad, rejoice, shout for joy in Psalm 32, verse 11, and then sing for joy and praise in Psalm 33, verse 1. What else is included in this invitation to worship? What else is included? Verse 2. Grab a musical instrument and use your musical skills to give thanks and praise Yahweh. That's the invitation today as well. And, you know, honestly, I want to be a doer of the word just like you guys. And so I've kind of been wrestling with this a little bit. And kind of been thinking about it, honestly, and kind of been reading this, and I'm like, I don't have a lyre. I don't worship the Lord in that way. And honestly, just kind of wrestling with this, I want to be a doer of the word. I want to apply God's word. I told Gretel this week, true story, I said, you know what, honey, I think I need to learn a musical instrument. And some of you know this, we've recently moved, and so our new house, we've like moved 5 minutes away, and so our new house has like a porch, and I'm like, this is the perfect porch to play the harmonica on. And like, if I could worship on the porch and play the harmonica, that would be amazing. And so I'm kind of debating, should it be the harmonica? I mean, that, he doesn't mention the harmonica here, but I'm like, I don't have a lyre. What about a piano or a keyboard? I mean, that would be really cool. That'd be really cool. And so I'm thinking about it, honestly, I really am. Thinking about it. And you say, yeah, Jason, but you know what? You're not as young as you once were. Hate to break it to you. I did hear that you have a birthday coming up. Word is you're approaching 50. Not there yet, but you're approaching 50. Isn't that a little bit old to learn a musical instrument? You know, you guys may not know this about me. Have I ever shared this? True story. Did you guys know that I actually come from a fairly musical family? Have I ever shared this with you guys? True story. Came from a fairly musical family. I mean, not as musical as the Pierres or the Cruises or the Olsons or the Bacons or the Barnes. But it's like we could hold our own as a family. We did pretty good. Most of my family. True story. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not telling a pastor's tale. We were actually pretty musical, most of my family. Extended family, we all played instruments. I wasn't such a great singer, but many of my family members are good singers. My mom and my sister are especially gifted this way. My dad played the tuba, not too shabby. My mom played the flute. My siblings both played something. I, on the other hand, was what they called a double threat. all right? I played both the trumpet and the trombone. Not too shabby. And so you guys are going to have to take my word for it, but I could tear up sheet music with both the trumpet and the trombone. You guys have heard of Kenny G? That's kind of the Kenny G of the trombone. And so I started in like fourth grade, played all the way through 12th grade. In college, I was in a traveling orchestra. I was going to say band, but that sounds cool. It was a traveling orchestra, and I started when I was young, honestly. And for those of you who play musical instruments, you know how to read sheet music. You know how to do it. It's you can kind of, you can probably pick up something else. And so, hey, Jason, what's your point again? I think the point is, verse 1 and 2, there's an invitation here. It's to worship. And you don't have to be a highly skilled worship leader like Pastor Robert or Brandon, who are excellent, highly gifted. And so whether you are highly skilled or just a novice, all of us are invited to worship. And so whether you sound great or you're just okay, today we're looking at the kind of worship we ought to be offering. And what's the psalmist saying? Jason, what's the bottom line? He's saying, worship, worship, worship. Give it your all. Give it your all. Pour out to God your praise. And don't be shy about it. And grab a musical instrument and worship. And when it comes to worship, be sure to sing with all your might and do so with instruments as well. And notice there, moving on, verse 3. And this is also interesting. Some of us don't like this verse so much either. It says, sing to him a new song. New song. Playing skillfully with a loud shout. It's interesting. We're called here to sing a new song, to play skillfully with a loud shout. And the idea of a new song means that we're to be thoughtful. We are exercising our minds to find new ways to praise the Lord. We're creative. We're trying to discover who God is, right theology, thinking rightly, declaring him praise. Blesses Yahweh. It honors him. And it should be clear that we have ample reasons every day to exalt him for his grace, his blessings, his goodness. Like, we're never gonna exhaust who God is. Check this out, for example, Lamentations chapter 3. This is so good. Such a great passage. I want to read this for you. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. And 23, it says, the loving kindness of Yahweh, indeed, it never ceases, all right? Never. You can never exhaust the loving kindness of Yahweh. For his compassion, it never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so with so much grace and so much goodness from the Lord, how could we not sing to him a new song? And a fresh expression of worship. I know we love the familiar songs, but God loves the new ones. One more thing, did you notice that verse 3 also calls on us to praise Yahweh? How? Did you catch it? What does it say there at the end of verse 3? What does it say? Play skillfully with a loud shout. And so it's not quiet, Christian. It's not halfway singing. It's not lip syncing either, right? It's not just standing there, but it's rather with a loud shout, loud volume. And then in verse 4, we find out the reasons why we are to praise him. Let's keep going. Three ways we can offer Yahweh our worship, all right? Right from the text. Three ways we can offer Yahweh worship. First, we're going to see by rejoicing in his word, all right? This is a form of worship. It blesses Yahweh as we rejoice in his word. Notice there, verse 4. For the word of Yahweh is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of loving kindness of Yahweh. First reason here for this kind of praise is it's because of God's word. Thank God for his word. Do you guys see that? He says there in verse 4, for the word of Yahweh is upright. This word upright, it means like straight, or it means right, or correct. This word reminds us that God's word sets the standard of righteousness and morality. You guys know this. The word of God is, it's like a compass. That's what it is. That can guide us through the desert of this world. This book right here, this book, so important for us. And we treasure it because it's our compass to help us navigate this very, it's not easy, a complicated world. The desert of this world. You know, all around us we see evidence of people abandoning this word. Churches abandoning this word. You guys see it, I see it. Evidence all around us. For the most part, society as a whole forsaken God's word. For the most part, the Ten Commandments, the Great Commandment, nearly every other precept of God, abandoned. And the obvious reason for the foolishness to abandon this word is due to immorality, wickedness, evil, sin. We're reminded of it every day. I could go on and on. Yet, those who read the word, treasure the word, obey the word, live by the word, what happens? They can navigate through the darkness, and we can experience just how precious the word of God is. Scripture bears witness to this fact over and over and over and over again. I got a few passages to simply illustrate this. You guys know what it says, don't you? In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do you guys rely on this light, this lamp, to light your path? Are you depending on it? Is this your experience? This morning, do you know the truth? The truth of Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, where it says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life." As God's children, the word of Yahweh is our lamp. It's our light. It's our compass. Do you depend on it as such? God's word is precious. And the psalmist today is telling us that we should praise God for this treasure and depend on it, rely on it. And we can actually offer Yahweh worship by rejoicing in his word. You know, another great thing about God's word and the Psalms in particular is that the Psalms are uniquely designed to care for our soul. They really are. And I know some of us this morning are just troubled and weary or beat down by circumstances or you're discouraged. Honestly, the medicine is right here. This is what you need. Go to the Lord. The Psalms are uniquely designed to care for your soul. They provide care. Maybe you found this to be true for you, that the Psalms provide tremendous wisdom in time of need. Maybe you found that the Psalms offer hope when disappointment abounds. Maybe you found that the Psalms offer answers when only questions are present. Is this your experience? Notice here, verse 5, "He loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of the loving kindness of Yahweh." You know, in that verse 5, it says that he loves righteousness and justice. This reminds us that he will bless those who honor his word, and he will judge those who abandon his word. How about that? Verse 5 also teaches us that God's goodness can be seen in all the world. Verse 5 says, "The earth is full of the loving kindness of Yahweh." All these truths teach us that the word of God is a revelation of the person of God. How else could a holy, transcendent, eternal God reveal himself to man? That's why we treasure this. We're not Bible worshipers. We worship the God of the Bible, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we treasure and delight in his word because it points us to him. God's word is a treasure. This book is not just any book. It's through these pages that God has chosen to reveal himself to us. You guys remember what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39? So good. John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Wrong. It is these that bear witness, Jesus says, about me. That's why we read God's word, study God's word, delight in God's word, meditate on God's word, memorize God's word, spend time reading God's word. That's why. Because these scriptures point to our Savior. And so let's get practical. Notice the last part of verse 5. Back in Psalm 33, verse 5. Do you guys see it? It says there, the loving kindness of Yahweh. The loving kindness of Yahweh. It is a delightful, very simple, yet profound series of words. The steadfast love, the loving kindness of Yahweh. Are you experiencing this morning? You experiencing the loving kindness, the steadfast love of Yahweh? Are you experiencing this for yourself? You know, if you say no or maybe you're not sure, let's just get practical here. Here's what you should do. Tomorrow, later this afternoon, like make a date, set an alarm, time alone with God in his word, and before you start, simply ask, God, help me to see you as you are. Pray, ask him. Simply ask, Holy Spirit, will you direct my heart? Help me to see the Lord's loving kindness and help me to see it. Help me to see it. Help me to see it in my own life. Ask him for help and then read and keep reading and then pray some more. I'd start in Psalm 33. Read verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then I would ask myself, how do I see the loving kindness of Yahweh in my life? How am I seeing it? For me personally, I'd probably grab my journal, my pen. I'd take a moment. Most of the time, I start listing the ways. Lord, I don't want to be blind to it. Help me see it. I know it's everywhere. Help me have eyes to see your steadfast love and loving kindness in my life. Help me to see it. Maybe I'll begin thinking about my marriage. Gretel and I, 19 years. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think about my children. Thank you, Lord, for our three precious children. I have a son, two daughters. Thank you, Lord, for them. I might take time to identify evidence of grace that I see God at work in their life. Sometimes I'll think about the wonderful relationships that Gretel and I have with our extended family or our church family with you guys. We are so blessed. So many people that love us, care for us, taking time just to be mindful of it so that I can see it and be reminded of God's goodness, his steadfast love, his loving kindness in my life. And if I could encourage you guys, just be specific. Take the time because his faithfulness is there. It's everywhere. We just need eyes to see it. And if I could offer just one more suggestion, take your time. Slow down. It's not a race. The key to a healthy walk with the Lord is slow and not rushed. That's the key. So read, study, meditate, treasure, abide. Don't hurry. Slow, not rushed. Delight in God's word. And what happens is when we don't, our spiritual life just shrivels up. And that's how some of you feel this morning. Next, you're going to love this part. Verse 6 through 9 echo the creation account from Genesis 1 and 2, where each time God spoke, what he commanded produced its effect. Notice there, verse 6, by the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made. All right, this is extraordinary. And by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts, he gathers the water of the seas as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yahweh. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was. He commanded and it stood. You know, the psalmist here is reminding us of what we find in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Reminds us that everything that we see around us was spoken. You guys know this. It was spoken into existence by the word of God. Everything visible, everything invisible, everything that is large, everything that is small, everything that is near, everything that is far away, came into existence by the word of God. We see it in Genesis 1, verse 3, for example, where God spoke for the first time, and when he spoke, light appeared out of darkness. All through Genesis 1, God kept speaking and great things kept appearing. It's really remarkable. It's remarkable. His word is power then, and his word still has power now. I have a few more verses here I'd love to show you that emphasize this. Check this out. Listen to the testimony of God's word about his word. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accompanying what it pleases me and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Remarkable. How about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17? All scriptures, you guys know this one. It's God-breathed, profitable, for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God, it's living, and it's active, and it's sharp. So sharp, in fact, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the divisions of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So good. Wow. That's the word of God. And so let's move on there to verse 4 through 9. Now verse 10. Three ways we can offer our worship: by rejoicing in his word. Next up, we can offer Yahweh our worship by rejoicing in his will. This is pretty incredible. Verse 10, Yahweh nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the thoughts of the peoples. The counsel of Yahweh stands forever. The thoughts of his heart from generation to generation. I can't help but think of the circumstances in our nation over the last week as I read verse 10. What we see here is that God's plans prevail. Men can make their plans, but in the end, God's will is going to be accomplished. And so if you look at the maneuvering of governments and leaders around the world, honestly, it's easy to be filled with fear. If you pay a lot of attention to the news like I do, it's easy to get worked up about Iran, North Korea, the military financial resources of China, the belligerent attitude of Russia, the threat of God's people by radical Islam, and their fury poured out on Israel by way of Gaza. With all of that, it may seem, is the world out of control? It's kind of easy to think that. And then you add to it that in our own country, we have weak leadership, foolishness, foolish decisions that make us wonder, like, how are things going to play out here? But here's what Psalm 33, verse 10 and 11 show us. We need not fear, because God is in control of all things. Amen? And this even includes the bullets fired from an assassin's rifle like what we saw last Saturday. I mean, how clear is verse 11? Notice there. It says, the counsel of Yahweh stands forever, and the thoughts of his heart from generation to generation. What that means is the God who made this world also rules it. He made it, and he rules it according to his purposes. And the psalmist here is encouraging all people to put their hope in the Lord both now and forever. And maybe that's what you need to do today. And so the second way we can offer Yahweh our worship this morning is to rejoice in his will. It's not to resist his will. It's to rejoice in his will. And I think a good reminder is, maybe you need this reminder as well, the things that occur in this world are all part of God's sovereign plan for the ages. Nothing is by accident. Nothing is overlooked. Nothing can catch Yahweh off guard. Nothing takes place that is not a part of his divine plan. And here's what I'm learning about that as Americans. You guys know this. We want to be in control. We want to be. That's the American way. We're the masters, aren't we, of our own destiny. And we want to think that our thoughts and our opinions matter. We want the world to revolve around us. That's how we live a lot of the time. But here's the thing, and I hate to be the one to break it to you if this is a newsflash, but what you think or what I think, what I want or you want, it doesn't matter in the least. God has determined what will take place in this world and what's going to happen, and there is no question about it. And that's what we're seeing here. And check this out. Multitude of scriptures bear witness to this simple fact. For example, Psalm 135, verse 6. It says, whatever Yahweh pleases. Can you guys see it on the screen? Is the first word whatever? Yep. Whatever Yahweh pleases, he does. In heaven and on earth. Even in the seas. And in the deeps. Remarkable. How about Isaiah 46, verse 9 through 11? This is so good. This is dense and robust theology, loved ones. If you can kind of build your foundation on this, I'm telling you, life begins to make more sense. Remember the former things of long past. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my counsel will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. It's remarkable. And then towards the end of verse 11, it says, truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have formed it, surely I will do it. Remarkable. It's remarkable. How clear is that? It's so clear. God is great. God is powerful. He is sovereign, providential. He is in control. Are you resting in these truths this morning? We are not in control. We are not strong. We are not great. We are not powerful. We are not sovereign. And so once again, the invitation is another way we can offer Yahweh worship is by rejoicing in his will. Moving on, notice there, verse 12. Look there. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And here the psalmist mentions the nations that honor God. He says that they will be blessed. And that's certainly true. And there's no question about that. Those who respond to God's will by submitting to him, they will be blessed. Now moving on, notice there, verse 13, three ways that we can offer Yahweh our worship. We do so by rejoicing in his word. We do so by rejoicing in his will. Next up, we can offer Yahweh our worship by rejoicing in his watching. Huh. What do you mean by that? Well, look there, verse 13. Yahweh looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who forms the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works. Talk about a wonderful truth. Yahweh's looking. Yahweh is watching. It says Yahweh looks from heaven and he sees all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He gazes, on all the inhabitants of the earth. How clear is that? Our God is in heaven, but his eyes are on the affairs of man. Right now, the Lord is enthroned, but that doesn't make him distant. Rather, he is so great that he observes every single deed of man. Wow! That's what it's teaching. It means what you think it means. It's hard to comprehend, though. But from where God sits, he sees it all. There's no deed, no thought, no sin that can ever occur without his intimate knowledge. Again, scripture bearing witness to this over and over and over again. I got a verse for you. You got to check this out. God knows our every thought. He knows what you're thinking right now. Even right now, as you receive the word, you can be worshiping in how you respond to it. The Lord knows your thoughts. It says in Psalm 139, verse 2, you know when I, he knows when we sit down and when we rise up, you understand my thoughts from afar. Amazing. How about Proverbs 15, verse 3? The eyes of Yahweh are in every place watching the evil and the good. God's word is so clear that he knows every deed. He's looking. He knows every motive behind every action. It says in Jeremiah 17, verse 10, that I, Yahweh, search the heart. He searches your heart. He searches my heart. I test the inmost being, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deeds. He knows everything there is to know, and nothing can be hidden from him. It's remarkable. It really is. That's our God. And the lesson in all of this is we can actually offer him worship by rejoicing in his watching. And so in his watching, we can take comfort in this, or we can resent it, or we can resist it. Notice the last few verses. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. Verse 17, a horse is a false hope for salvation, nor does it provide escape to anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eyes of Yahweh is on those who fear him, on those who wait for his loving kindness to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. What this is telling us is that God holds the destiny of man in his hands. Our future, our children's future, our nation's future, all of this is in his very capable hands. And what that means is the decisions that will be determining the course of this world are not made in Washington, D.C. They're not made in Moscow or Beijing either. The decisions that will affect the course of this world are made in heaven. Amen? That's what it's saying. By the sovereign God who occupies the throne as the ruler of all things. And don't miss this part. While God is still sovereign and controls everything that happens in his creation, listen, he still has time for us. That's the amazing part. He's like, wow! But yet he still cares about you and me. The things that frighten you, the fears, the anxious thoughts, the worries, the deep concerns. It's amazing. This is our God. And these truths about his watching, they can provide great comfort and hope. And we can rejoice in them, or we can resent them and resist them. Really, the choice is yours. Maybe this morning you need this reminder that our God knows all and he sees all. And he even sees everything that happens to you. He sees the pain. He sees the problems. He sees your discouragement, the frustration. He sees the hurts, the fears, the valleys, the sorrows. Nothing escapes his gaze. And so while a lost world lives in fear, the people of God can rest in the arms of divine, sovereign God, knowing that their God will take care of them. This is our God. And this is Psalm 33. Today, Psalm 33 shows us that Yahweh's eye is on your life, and he knows more about your needs than you do. That's how well he knows us. And he will not fail, and you can trust him. He will not desert you. He loves you, and he will take care of you until you join him in glory. Amen? Amen. A couple more verses. Verse 20 and following, it's really the conclusion of this psalm. Our soul is patient. Yes! This is a response that glorifies Yahweh. Our soul is patient for Yahweh. He is our help. Can you say this morning? He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him. This is an attitude that worships Yahweh. Because our trust is in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Yahweh, be upon us as we wait for you. So basically what the psalmist says is, when it's all said and done, we will trust in Yahweh. And each man and woman and child that sings this and takes to heart the greatness and wonder of God will be enabled more and more to rest and wait in the Lord. And so with that said, why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there. What a great psalm. Today we see that we serve a God who is worthy to be praised. There's no question about it. He's worthy. There's no question. He is worthy to be praised. He deserves the unhindered praises of his people. Today we see that our God deserves the best songs, the newest songs, played well on musical instruments, with the loudest shouts, with musical prowess in our devoted service. He is worthy to be praised, yet so often we allow other things to cloud our thinking and hide his face. But today, would we once again determine to place him first in all things above all? Amen? I mentioned at the beginning that Psalm 33 is one of my favorites, and now you know why. And perhaps the thing I love most about Psalm 33 is that this psalm is not just about God in general, but it's about Jesus in particular. And today we know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father doing all these things for his children. Jesus makes promises to us. Jesus is faithful in his work. Jesus rules in righteousness and justice. Jesus is sovereign and in control. He is Savior. He counsels his children. He watches over us. He is our deliverer. He is our help. He is our shield. In short, Jesus is everything that Psalm 33 promises us. Therefore, our hope, our faith, our trust is to be in him. I'd love for you to stand with me. Why don't we close in prayer? Let's transfer this trust to him once again. Father in heaven, we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your word. It is truth. Sanctify us with your truth, O Lord. Jesus, we worship you this morning because you were willing to pay the debt on our behalf. Jesus, you died for our sins. You conquered death for our salvation. And we are so thankful to you. It's a debt we cannot repay. We simply express gratitude by pouring out praise. And so receive our worship. We offer it with a loud voice. Be glorified, be magnified. We give you thanks in Jesus' good name. Amen.